Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Vanessa Scott with Walking in Wellness with Vanessa Scott. I'm so happy and delighted that you all are on the line. You're going to hear something that you may not have heard before, so I would encourage you all to have some pen and paper ready for any questions you may have towards the end, the last 15 minutes of this call. Walking in Wellness, I'll give you a brief synopsis. We are here to improve the health, well-being, and quality of life for our global audience by empowering them with impactful and applicable information from the best of the best experts in their field and scope of practice that may assist in health prevention of disorders and diseases. We have topics for health, finance, spiritual, mental, thing that has to do with maintaining your health and well-being. So we are so delighted here on the Tuesday of every month in which we host this show. We have the best experts from their field. And we have tonight, we have Rudy Johnson, who is out of Woodbridge, Virginia. He is a financial professional. Rudy, are you there?
I am. Good evening, Vanessa. How are you?
Good evening, Rudy. I'm so delighted to have you on the show as our guest. And can you give us a little information, give this audience a brief information about who you are?
Sure. Sure. So, again, my name is Rudy Johnson. I'm delighted to be with you all tonight. I want to thank you, Vanessa, for the invitation and thank the audience for joining us tonight. I have been in the financial services industry since end of 2001. I love what I do. I have a passion for what I do. I just want to make sure that I make a difference in people's lives. We provide, a great complement of financial services and products to our clients. Our clients are everyone. Let's say they're individuals, they're families, their businesses, organization, groups, you name it. We want to make a difference in their financial house, so to speak.
Okay. And so my next question is, what specific areas or financial services of the industry do you address for your clients and why?
Okay, so there's essentially five sectors, I'm going to call them that. That would be in the savings, the investments, the insurance. It would be in the wealth creation and debt mitigation or elimination and control of those debts. And the reason for that is because we recognize that they are not mutually exclusive. Not taking care of one, it's like being on a three-legged stool. If one leg is broken, you're gonna fall off that stool. And so we're gonna address those five particular areas. And then there are areas within those areas. There'll be five specific areas that address one's financial world and one's financial needs. And those areas are. And the disability, the long-term care, for example, retirement, life insurance, income shortage, gaps, and, again, the debt elimination. So, as I said earlier, we recognize that we cannot ignore any one area because if we were to do that, it would be at the peril of the others. And so, for those reasons, we essentially use an approach that centers around finding areas where you're spending your money unknowingly, unnecessarily, inefficiently. And then we have to get to know our clients, because if we don't know our clients, we will not be able to address their needs. So it really requires that we build a relationship. We're not transactional because we're dedicated, to their financial success. That's not necessarily unique to us, but it's something that we take very seriously. So how do we do that? Well, we do it by addressing the way they pay off their homes. Pay off their house or their mortgages or even their apartment. We're going to look at where they're not leveraging their tax advantages, for example. We're going to find out how they fund their retirement accounts, for example, the qualified plans. We're going to find out how they pay for their children's education expenses. We're going to find out how they pay for major capital purchases such as cars, weddings, vacations, future expenditures, home improvement, and the like. And so we operate on a philosophy that centers around avoiding losses rather than just picking winners. So in that sense, we need to find there are four questions we're going to ask them. Question number one goes something like this. What's the rate of return that you have to earn on your savings, on your investment dollars, for you to be able to retire at your current standard of living and have your money last through your life expectancy? The second question would be, how much do you need to save on a monthly basis, on an annual basis, for you to be able to retire at your current standard of living and for that same money to last for your entire life expectancy. Question number three, if you keep doing what you're doing now, how long will you have to work in order for you to be able to retire and live your current lifestyle until life expectancy? And you're going to see a pattern in all these questions. And the last one is, if you don't do anything different than what you're doing today, how much will you have to reduce your current standard of living at retirement for your money to last your entire life expectancy? So the common denominator in all those questions is, the life expectancy. And so going back to those other areas that I talked about earlier, and to dig it actually one layer deeper, we're gonna address their disability, because we know that essentially the younger you are, the higher the probability you're gonna suffer a disability that could wipe out your entire financial situation. Retirement, this is the richest country in the world, but why is it that we have less than a 3% retirement savings? For example, statistics show that on the average household in the U.S., about $2 million go through their household over a working lifetime. But then of that $2 million, only 3% is saved, which means that a lot of people retire with only $60,000 to last them the rest of their lives. That's not going to work. Long-term care. It seems like everywhere you go, there's a long-term care facility popping up all over the place, assisted living, that sort of stuff. So every day, we know that particular sector is growing. Why? Because depending on who you believe, there's somewhere between 8,000 and 12,000 people every day that are turning 65. That's what's driving a lot of the medical discussions that you hear about, the Medicare and all the other ones. So we understand that. Now, life insurance, which is what we put a lot of emphasis on, we know that the majority of this population either has none at all, not as much as they need, or whatever they have is inadequate for the particular situation at present. And then I mentioned, earlier about the debt mitigation, debt elimination. We're living paycheck to paycheck. 3 out of 4 folks in the country are living paycheck to paycheck and carrying about, on average, around $250,000 of debt. So we address all of those in aggregate because, again, you cannot look at one without, looking at the others. I gave you a long answer, but that kind of breaks it down.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that, because the question is, for people who are in debt like that, for $250,000 worth of debt.
The question is what?
For someone that is in $250,000 worth of debt, for those who are unaware of what services that they can seek out to help assist with them coming out of debt and staying out of debt, what type of services can someone like that, these families who are really struggling from, like I said, from paycheck to paycheck and using their credit cards to try to, it's like paying Peter to, to pay Paul here. So what can they do? Who can they seek out?
We use I can't call it proprietary. We use a licensed program, a licensed strategy to eliminate debt. It varies from person to person. The strategy is not a cookie cutter strategy, so we have to essentially do the forensics on each person, understand, what their debt situation is, and then devise the plan that'll get them out of debt, in rather short time. And we know that based on the data that we have, based on the results that we've been having, for example, we're able to get our clients to pay off their mortgages, car loans, their education loans, just about any other debt, credit cards and all these other debts that they have, and we generally do that within 9 years or less. So for some folks it's a little longer, for some folks it's much, much shorter.
Okay, so Rudy, in which area of the industry or product do you do the most business and why?
Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, that would be in the life insurance aspects of one's financial world, financial house, financial lives. And the reason is because life insurance is the foundation of your financial house. You're going to hear me say financial house quite a bit. Because when you build your financial house, you got to think about the emergency funds, the investments, the retirement, the opportunities, the tax mitigations, the outpacing inflation. Those are the elements of your financial house. Life insurance becomes that foundation, so you have to start there. Life insurance happens to be, misunderstood. A lot of people don't know that there are varieties of it. Most people think you have to die to use it. I'm here to tell you, you do not have to die to use your life insurance. There are a lot of myths, misconceptions. It's like, recently I was meeting with two couples, young couple, and I asked them what they thought, and their answers were, I take out the plan, and if I die, my survivor gets the money, yada, yada, right? You hear that explanation quite a bit.
Yeah.
What people don't know is that life insurance is like baking soda. Oftentimes, when I'm speaking with my clients, I ask them, how many uses of baking soda are there? And they're going to tell me, give me all kinds of answers except the baking. What they don't know is that there are over 400 uses for baking soda. Well, I don't know if there are 400 uses for life insurance, but I can tell you this, there are dozens and dozens of uses for it. Now, it's all about what you can do with it while you're living rather than, when you die. The last time it's going to be used is when you die. The most important aspects of a life insurance product or plan is what you can do with it while you are living. Today, they're very complex. They're very advanced. There's a wide range of uses for it. And if I had to list those usage, let's just list a few. Say income replacement, lifetime income distribution, tax-free accumulation. You can use them as a retirement subsidy. You can use it to protect your mortgage, even your rent. You fund in education. Use it for business needs. Use it for group plans. Use it for emergency funds. Use it for pension maximization. Use it as a collateral, and also use it for debt elimination. So did you notice that I didn't mention the burial needs? That's because that's the last time you're going to use it. Point is that I wouldn't go as far as to say this unlimited, but there are, again, dozens and dozens and dozens of uses for it. So the population as a whole, maybe even the whole world, needs to know that it's not about dying.
Okay, so Rudy, can you share with the audience what are the different types? Are there certain types of insurance that will allow people to draw from their life insurance?
Well, life insurance essentially comes in two categories. It's either temporary or it's permanent. When it's temporary, it's like renting. When it's permanent, you own it. The answer as simple as possible. When you're renting insurance, you're going to buy a term, and it's going to be it's going to cover you for a specific period of time because that's your specific need for a limited period of time. When you buy a permanent plan, it's going to cover you for a lifetime, and so each one of them has a specific use. No one is better or worse than the other. It's all about what do you need? So it depends on what the client what the clients or the owners purpose and needs are. So it's not a commodity. It is a strategic component of one's financial picture house.
Okay, thank you. So when should a person be insured? When or how soon should we purchase life insurance?
Well, let me give you an example. My grandson is 5 months old. He's born in May. And I knew, or we knew that he, you know, we estimated anyway, that he'd be born within the first 2 weeks of May. By April, I had already pre-written the application for him. When he was 14 days old, which is usually the waiting period in most states, I put a plan in place for him. I did it for him because I have to practice what I preach, and I know that it works. So for him and his two sisters, I set up a plan where today they have a retirement. Their retirement, I wouldn't say it's solid, but it's on solid ground. What am I saying? I'm saying that I use the life insurance plan to set up our retirement plans for my three grandkids. That sounds silly, but it's a way to make sure that they don't have to go through the issues that, you know, most of us have to go through today. I have to practice what I preach, so I've implemented it for my three grandchildren. So the answer to your question would be as soon as possible, and that would be, you know, for me, it's as soon as you can do it on the child, or if you don't have it right now, do it today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Things change. It's never too late to do it unless you're over age 85, then you can't do it. But the sooner, the better. I know that's a very broad answer, but it's true.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. My question is, explain to us how to set up a life insurance for your retirement. Can you explain how you would do that for those who may not know? Yeah, just for you, like you did for your
retirement. For your retirement? Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah, how does that turn into retirement?
Depending on the client situation, depending on the plan, the plans can be configured so that, and this would have to be done with a permanent plan, of course. And it'll have to be configured where the plan is funded to meet their retirement objective. So it's understanding the client's needs, both in the short term, in the midterm, and in the long term. It's understanding how they plan on funding that plan, when they plan on drawing from the plan, and for how long. And so using the commonly described tax-free retirement strategy, they're able to oftentimes, and most times that's what they want to do, they want to draw from that plan for a lifetime, starting at a certain age, for example. So it has to be designed, it has to be configured, it has to be structured for specifically to each person.
Okay. So which companies do you represent, and how are they chosen?
So I'm an independent agent, and I represent probably about 12 companies, somewhere between 12 and 16, I'm going to say. I don't even know anymore. And they're chosen based on their diversity of portfolio, the products and the services that they offer. I want to know if they're highly rated. I want to know if they are solvent. I want to know, I'm always concerned or pay close attention to how good their services is or are. I want to make sure that they have a bandwidth for as many clients as possible. Now, if as it relates to life insurance, the numbers say that there are over 900 of them in the U.S. So I can't possibly remember all of those, nor can I even represent all those companies. But being an independent agent gives leverage that is a benefit to the client, because I don't have to try to fit the square peg, the proverbial square peg, in a round hole, meaning that I don't have to try to fit everybody in the same box. Oftentimes, our solutions involve one or more carriers, companies, that is. And so I like that flexibility. It gives the client choices. It gives me and, you know, my team a wide variety of choices and solutions to prescribe and ascribe to our clients.
Excellent. So how do you, Rudy, educate your community? How are you working with your community to get the information out? Because just like you said, there's different misconceptions of, or myths of life insurance. And like they say, we perish because of lack of knowledge. And so how are you getting this knowledge out to people in your community?
Well, that would be through, you know, I guess I'm going to say it starts with one person at a time. And then every now and again, we might do some seminars and webinars, you know, platforms such as this one. We get the word out basically, you know, to put it simply, any which way we can, because our goal is to touch as many people as we can. We put our best foot forward to do that. You know, we partner with other business owners of business or lines of business, meaning it could be an attorney, CPAs, realtors, you know, and others, churches. We do events at churches and other places so that we can get the word out. We want to help everybody, everyone that we can.
Yeah, you really do.
Of course, referrals don't hurt either, right?
That's right. Absolutely. So, you know, Rudy, I was just thinking about this. You know, when people really don't have the understanding and of how important it is to have life insurance, and you know, some people that are, you know, are struggling and trying to make ends meet, and you know, they know they need the insurance. It's part of our responsibility as adults. And how can you encourage people to, you know, that this is important, and it may be another bill to them each month. You know, they may actually put this to the side and say, you know, we'll work on this later when we save more money to have life insurance. You know, how do you encourage people to establish this life insurance, you know, and even not feel like they need it at the moment because they're trying to just make ends meet?
Okay, so this goes back to the myths that I talked about earlier. And you mentioned a bill. If they look at it as a bill, then they're never going to see value in it. A life insurance plan is an asset. It's an asset that is, I mentioned earlier, that it's the foundation of your financial house. And we all know that if the foundation isn't strong, the house is not going to last. So then what do we do? First, we're going to sit them down, and we're going to let them know how life insurance works. We go through the various types, and we're going to narrow down to what we think would work best for their particular situation. Then we're going to work with them so that, you know, God forbid they have a bad month and the money is short and things like that, that is not the first place where they, you know, cut their expenses, so to speak. So we have to give them a value proposition. We have to let them know, for example, these plans these days have these living benefits, right? If the person suffers a terminal illness or critical illness, a chronic illness, and even a critical injury, they're able to use the money in their plan or from their plan while they are living. A lot of people don't know that. I've said, when I talked about the many uses earlier, those are the type of things that we're gonna speak with them about, because they need to see the value in it. If they don't see the value in it, they're not going to want to keep it. So, again, you structure it the right way, they'll see the value in it, they'll keep it, they'll sleep great at night, knowing that, you know, if they don't get up in the morning, that everything would be all right. You know, not just, I'm not talking about morbidly. I'm talking about, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, a while ago, using the money in the plans while they're living. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
About this time last year, we were going through the shutdown. You remember that, right?
Yeah.
We had the shutdown, actually. I had a client who called me somewhere around the end of November and said to me that she needed to cancel her plan because she had lost her job. And I reminded her that the way we structured her plan allowed her to skip her premium, and I estimated for her how long she would need to skip her premium, would be able to skip her premium. This is the end of November, thereabouts. Early January, she calls me and she says, "Rudy, I've been diagnosed with breast cancer." I remind her at that time that, remember, your plan has the living benefits for critical illness. You have a critical illness. Let's file a claim for your critical illness. She was able to get the money out of her plan while she was living. Imagine if she had canceled her plan as she had requested to do back in November. She would have been facing, I think she told me, somewhere in the, you know, north of $40,000 bill that she would have had to come up with the money some way, somehow. But she had already lost the job, so she didn't have the $40,000. Because of the plan that she had, she was able to use it while she was living. She took care of her, cancer, her surgeries, and all everything else that went along with it, and she's okay. Her plan is still in place. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're offering a peace of mind.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That proves that what I said earlier, you don't have to die to use it. And that's one of many. There are many, many like that. There's all kinds of myths. You have to be super healthy to buy one. No, you don't. That is too expensive. We just talked about that, you know. Again, I view it as an asset. I don't view it as an expense. That you should never purchase it on children. Well, I already told you, I mentioned earlier, that I have it on my grandchildren, and many other clients have done the same thing. That you only need one policy, or, you know, that they are, you know, there's all these myths out there. And I can say this, the worst day to not have a life insurance plan is the day that you need it. I'm going to repeat that again. The worst day to not have a life insurance plan is the day that you need it.
Wow. That's true.
That is very true. I don't want to get too graphic, but I can give you some examples of those types of situations as well. So the point is, start right now. The sooner the better. Purchase it today. Purchase it as much as you're able to. Use it the way the wealthy folks have been using it for hundreds of years. It's a level playing field.
All right. Fantastic. Fantastic. Great information, Rudy. Thank you so much for sharing this. And now, what is the best way that people can contact you?
I can be contacted at my home office number, and that number is 571-552-3677, or on the website, my website, Rudy J, as in R-U-D-Y-J, at Golden Pillars, with a plural, Golden Pillars, F as in Frank, S as in Sam, G as in George, .com. I repeat, Rudy J at Golden Pillars, FSG.com.
Okay,
and by
thank
the way,
you.
There is never, ever, ever a fee for my services or that of, you know, my team.
So what's the best time to contact you, and what days are you available?
So I tell my clients that, you know, sometimes they test me on this, but it's true because I mean it. My answer to that question would be literally 24/7, 365. Why? Because I want my clients to know that their plan does not have a start time in the day nor a stop time in the day. It's not a 9-to-5 plan. It's 24/7, 365. I don't know when they're going to need to speak with myself or my agent for a claim, for example. I don't want them to make to call every day, you know, at those wee hours of the morning or anything like that. But if they need to, they can, because I want them to feel comfortable that they're receiving the support. Our normal hours of operation is essentially 7 to 10 o'clock in the evening. I got to sleep, but the point is, I want them to, if there's something on their mind and it's pressing and it's an emergency, a true emergency, then, yeah, give us a call. We'll talk about it, and then we'll see how, you know, how we can mitigate it or fix it or address it. But I want them to feel comfortable that anytime they want to make a call, they can, or send an email or what have you. And trust me, they've tested me on it.
And are your clients, are they local to you, or where are your clients? Who are your clients?
So who are my clients? Individuals, I mentioned earlier, right? Families, businesses, organizations, groups, or what have you. The common denominator in all of those are people. And so we, as an independent agency, you know, we covered many different states. Personally, I am licensed in, I think right now, probably about 14 states in the country. And that's because when we do a good job, we get the referrals. And when we get the referrals, you know, we spread our wings, so to speak. There are no limits. Let me rephrase it, because as far as I know, there's some international listeners on this call. We can't do anything outside of the U.S., continental U.S. to be more specific. But within the 50 states, we can. If someone contacts us with a need, and say, for example, they are in Idaho. I'm not currently licensed in Idaho. But if there's a valid need, then I'm going to do everything I can to address that client, and I'm going to get the proper credentials to be able to legally do business for that client and with that client in that particular jurisdiction. So with the rest of the team. So wherever business takes us is where we go. And remember, no fees. We get compensated, and I need to, you know, put this out there. We get compensated based on you know, a commission that we receive from the carriers, and that's fully disclosed.
Okay. All right. So right now, Rudy, we're going to take some comments or questions, and you can hit 1 on your phone. And after your question is finished, you can hit 1 again so that you can go back into the queue. So are there any questions at this time? Rudy, and can you give us your information one more time, your phone number and your email, either your email address or your website?
Yeah, usually when we mention life insurance, it's like a taboo for a lot of people, but that's all right. Contact information, office number, 571-552-3677, or please go to the website and send us an inquiry from there. Let me give you the other one. Let me go to there are two email. There's the info@goldenpillarsfsg.com, and then directly to me it would be rudyj@goldenpillarsfsg.com. I think I misspoke on the other one. info@goldenpillarsfsg.com and rudyj@goldenpillarsfsg.com. And don't be bashful. Ask our questions. They're free.
So are there any other questions? Are there any questions at all? Any comments? Okay. All right. Well, absolutely incredible knowledge and wisdom. We definitely appreciate you, Rudy, for coming on and giving us this incredible information. And I know that the listening audience has partaken in so much information. And so I'm so glad that you're able to give us more understanding, because some people may, like you said, have these misconceptions or myths about life insurance, so they don't even bother to purchase it. Have no understanding of the value that it presents to their lives. And like you said earlier, it would definitely give you a peace of mind. So we are so happy that you were able to be on the call tonight. We'll definitely have you back on again. And if there's any other anything else you'd like to share?
Well, I'll say this. There's a reason why life insurance has been around since forever and a day. I was sharing with our team the other night, doing some little research, and according to the information that I was able to draw to get, it's been around since, I believe, 700 BC. And imagine that. We're in 2019, and today is still misunderstood. But there's nothing to be said if it's been around that long. And I leave this audience with these two thoughts. Actually, three. I'll leave it back at two. You need to protect the ones who depend on you, but you also need to protect the ones who you depend on. So I repeat it. You need to protect the ones who depend on you, but you also need to protect the ones you are depending on. I'll leave you with those provoking thoughts.
Yes, absolutely. So true. And so we thank you. Thank you, Rudy. We'll definitely have you back on the show again here. So we have Walking in Wellness with Vanessa Scott every Tuesday of every month. Next month we will have Dr. Greg Gunn, who has a wealth of health information. And so it's 8:00 p.m. Central Standard Time. And you have any questions, you can feel free to give us a call, 252-75-8-5-7. And we look forward to next Tuesday, November. Thank you.
Great. So long, everyone.
So long.
If I